Tall fescue is a very important cool season perennial grass in Missouri. Missouri is second in the nation for feeder calf production, second behind Texas. And we have over 13 million acres of tall fescue pasture in the state. Being a cool season perennial grass, the seasonal yield distribution of fescue is depicted here, where most of the growth occurs in the spring and early summer, and there's another flush of growth in the fall. Stockpile tall fescue is a practice where producers stop grazing some of their tall fescue pasture and allow that fall growth to accumulate in the field. They can then graze that accumulated growth through the winter months when growth is low for fescue. Now, I come from a plant nutrition lab, and we have done many studies focusing on the mineral element content of stockpiled tall fescue leaves. So we're looking at the range from September through April during the stockpiling season. In all of our studies, we've noticed that in the leaf, the phloem mobile macro elements decline going into winter. These include nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and magnesium. So the question we have are, where are these elements going? Are they being leached from the plant? Are they being utilized elsewhere by the plant during this period? Here's an example of our model element today of leaf nitrogen. On the y-axis, we have leaf nitrogen in percent, and on the x-axis, we have the stockpiling period from October through April. Notice that the leaf nitrogen declines rapidly going into winter and increases into spring. So where is this? We decided to look at the whole plant to determine where this nitrogen may be mobilized to. So we dug some roots and saw a proliferation of root growth in winter months from December to January, and then it goes down into the spring. But notice, as leaf nitrogen goes down, root growth increases. So this brings us to our current hypothesis that maybe the leaf nitrogen is mobilized during this period and then utilized for that new below ground growth during the winter months. So in order to investigate this, we incorporated the stable isotope of nitrogen, or N15, into the leaf tissue, and then we can observe the translocation of leaf nitrogen to other plant organs. For this, we established plots using PVC pipe with 10-inch diameter and an 8-inch depth. We did this through a very sophisticated method of a front-end loader weighted down with tractor weights, but it worked great. Here's the PVC pipe before it was driven and afterwards. It actually disturbed the fescue very little and allowed us to isolate below and above ground growth. As for the N15 treatment, it was the equivalent of 5 pounds per acre in the form of ammonium nitrate with the nitrate labeled with the N15. It was in a dilute tween solution to act as a surfactant. And we actually painted every single leaf surface by hand. This ensured all leaf surfaces received the N15, and that now we know the N15 is only in the leaves, and if we found it anywhere else, it was originated from the leaf surface. The tillers then were tagged in each plot by a color coding system to determine, so we knew which leaves were there at the time of application. So any new leaves since that time were new growth. Monthly harvests were done from October through April. The plants were dug, and you can see the soil core here. They were washed at the field site, and you were left with a tangled mess of many different tissues. So we had to take it back to the lab and separate them into different tissue types. For the above ground tissue separation, here we have the tag tillers. They were separated into the leaves that had received the N15, or the treated leaves, any new leaves on those tillers that had grown since the time of application, and then any new tillers found in that plot that were not there at the time of N15 application. For below ground growth, once you teased apart that mess of roots underground, you get segments that look like this, where we have the severed treated tiller. And at the base of the treated tiller, we have an area of active growth where many tissues are arising from, and we call that the active rhizome. From that active rhizome, you see new rhizomes here forming underground, which give a rise to new tillers. Also, you see the white fleshy roots are we call new roots, and there's also older roots, which are more thin and brown. Also attached to these segments are old rhizomes. These are more lignified and do not have a viable tiller attached to them. Okay, for results, we'll look at growth during the stockpiling period in terms of dry weight and grams per initial tiller. We do this per initial tiller basis because the number of tillers varied per plot at the time of application. Also, we'll look at N15 label recovery. This was the N15 analysis was done by the UC Davis Stable Isotope Facility. And we'll look at this in terms of the percent of applied N15 found in those tissues. For overall growth of fescue during this period, here we have the stockpiling period from October, and we did 2 harvests in April. You'll notice that there'll be no points for February because the ground was frozen during this time, and we're unable to dig those out. For the above ground growth, the green points here, you see there's an increase in above ground growth going into spring, and winter, and another increase in above ground growth going into spring. This is also seen in the below ground growth here, with an increase in below ground growth, and it declines slightly going into spring. So even though it's winter, fescue is actively growing in both above and below ground portions. As for N15 recovery, in terms of percent of applied N15, in the treated leaves, we found we recovered less as the study progressed going into the spring. So we asked ourselves, where is this N15 going? Is it being leached? Is it being remobilized? So in looking at all the new growth here, we find the N15 has indeed moved to the new growth, but it's actually, it goes oppositely of the N15 found in the treated leaves. So we see an increase in N15 found in the new growth here, and it's stable in the spring. Then the question is, where is the new growth occurring in this area here, and where is the N15 found? Which tissues? So we'll look at these in terms of above and below ground. First, the new growth above ground. Here's a picture just to show you from November to April how the plots grew, with many new leaves and new tillers present by April. But looking at this graphically, here we have the above ground growth separated into new leaves and new tillers. The dry weight, in terms of gram per initial tiller, being the black points, and the N15 recovery being the gold points. So for new leaves, we see an increase in new leaf growth going into winter and spring, and especially an abundant amount of new tiller growth through this period. Note that the N15 label is found in all of these actively growing regions. It actually follows the growth pattern in the above ground portion, with new tillers receiving 14% of that applied N15. For new growth, For new growth below ground, here's a picture of what happened. In October, here's the initial tiller where we painted the N15. So below ground growth, there's a lot of older roots, but at the base, at the active rhizome, you see initiations of new tillers forming. By December, those have grown out and towards the soil surface, and also you see more new root growth. And by April, those new tillers are well established with new rhizomes underground and many more new roots. So looking at the growth and N15 recovery graphically, again, the dry weight is the black points and the N15 recovery is gold. We have in terms of active rhizomes, and new roots. We see the new growth occurring in the underground structures. Here is an increase in active rhizomes, an increase in new rhizomes, and a proliferation of new roots going into the winter months. And also the N15 is found in these underground structures following the growth patterns. The only difference here is that in the spring, when growth is increasing, we see a decline in N15 here in active rhizomes, and you can see this again in the new roots. So this is opposite of what we saw in the above ground tissues. We'll revisit that quickly, where we see the N15 is increasing with that growth in the new above ground tissues. So our hypothesis is that it's the N15 is moving to the largest sink, whether that be new underground structures at the time or the new tillers. So in conclusion, going back to the title, is leaf nitrogen in stockpiled tall fescue used for root growth during the winter? The answer is definitely yes, but it's not just used for new root growth, it's also used for new tiller growth. And our hypothesis now is that the N15 is traveling down into that active rhizome area, and from there is being partitioned to wherever the greatest sink is, whether that's new roots or new tillers at that time. So with that, I'd like to thank everybody who worked on this, and I'll take any questions.
Hey, we do have 3 or 4 minutes for questions. So. I had a question. I think your percentage recovery of N15 is like 25%. And obviously, It's impossible to collect all of it. Is that kind of usual for those type of studies? And
Okay, the question was on the N15 recovery. And yeah, we had actually, when you added it all up, about 40 to 50% recovery. And that was pretty consistent through the winter, which was good for our case, and that we weren't losing a lot to leaching over time. But I would say that's a good recovery rate, and it was consistent. So we know maybe that's all that got absorbed into the leaf surface to begin with. But surprisingly for a field study, you know, we had good recovery rates.
What did you learn from your study based on the knife commitment that you can give as recommendations to your producers in terms of managing the stands, fertility, grazing, stockpile?
Okay. The question was, how does this involve management of stockpile tall fescue? And knowing more about the end movement in the plant and that it's a dynamic system, you can then give recommendations on fertilizer timing and possibly the importance of healthy root systems for that regrowth in the spring, as well as possible management of mowing, because that leaf tissue can be important for mineral nutrition of the plant in the spring. But the more we look at the dynamic system of the mineral elements, maybe we can modify some of our practices to enhance that. Oh man, it's crazy, but people kind of gave us strange looks out there. We actually did it this year with only 3 to 4 people, so we were out there getting very friendly with the fescue, and it was pretty much insane sometimes, but it works. It's a good method, so we. Any other questions?
Okay, well, we thank our speaker, Melissa.